This is a regular monthly board meeting of the Downers Grove Grade School District 58, Monday, March 13th, 2017 at 7 p.m. at the Longfellow Center. Pam, will you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Here.
Member Hefner?
Here.
Member Pescu?
Here.
Member Miller?
Here.
Member Purcell?
Here.
Member Siegel?
Here.
And Member Cooper is absent.
Okay. We have a flag salute from O'Neill Middle School. Would you like to start with the pledge?
Oh, the flag
it's over
is
here.
We sort of tucked over here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to start with it's St. Baldrick's week in school today. So today was St. Baldrick's you're going to learn more about that in just a minute. It's my pleasure to introduce Danielle Sines, who is our student council sponsor and she will be the president.
This is Mrs. Smith. She is our president of student council and she will have the pleasure of introducing everyone.
Good evening, Grade School District 58 board members and members of the Downers Grove community. First, we want to thank you for inviting us to speak on behalf of O'Neill Student Council. And I'm Tegan Smith, and I'm the president of the O'Neill Middle School Student Council. This is Vice President Riley Von Grisick and Officer Josette Nguyen in Logan Middlesex.
One of the main purposes for the Student Council at O'Neill is to provide leadership to the students, school, and community. We also help students develop a sense of responsibility and guide them to take ownership of their actions. We model these behaviors and host occasional after-school activities to celebrate the success of our student body. Another one of our goals is to encourage students to participate in school activities and to emphasize citizenship and democracy. We strive to represent the feelings, opinions, and interests of our school community to create a strong relationship between the faculty and student body. This also includes promoting scholarship within the classroom and helping students build feelings of self-confidence and social maturity. This also helps us build a sense of responsibility for our behavior and for the choices we make.
We also want to participate in and promote service projects within our school. This year we had our annual Pennies for Pumpkins fundraiser where we each gave a homemade. We gave each home base a pumpkin decorator. Each home base had to decorate the pumpkin using the theme of movies. Students voted for their favorite pumpkins using change, and all the money raised was donated to the Downers Grove Area Fish Food Pantry. Some of our favorites were Wilson from Castaway, the Alligator from Happy Gilmore, and Drew from the State Police. The top 10 fundraisers in the school will get to choose a teacher at O'Neill to throw a whipped cream pie at. The top 2 fundraising science classes will get to have a silly string fight next Monday. Today is only day 1 at O'Neill for the fundraiser, and our school has already raised over $1,000.
Other events planned for later this year include a cross-town dodgeball tournament against Harris. O'Neill folks will be taking home the championship. We are planning and hosting a football play in coordination with the Star Club and Gardening Club in May for the entire school and having a full watch.
We strive to be positive role models in our school and community.
We hope that our efforts will help our community grow stronger. Downers Grove is a wonderful place to live, and we are honored to be a part of it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to come up, we have some gifts for you.
Thank you. Very nice job.
Good job, Doug. Thank you.
Thank you for all you do. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Good job. Thank you very much.
We were supposed to have our PTH president coming here to talk about PTH. She must have got held up, but I can talk real quickly about some of the big things they're doing. As you know, they held an open session for all the board candidates last month. It was very well attended. I thought it was a great thing for them to put on to get information out there. We are planning their big fundraiser for the year is coming up on April 20th. It's called the O'Neill Sippin' Stroll. They do a wine tasting, progressive wine tasting through downtown. We're really excited. That sold out in less than a week. So we're very excited about that. That goes to our biggest fundraiser, which really goes to help pay for the 8th grade trip, which is at the end of the school year. We take the 8th grade class downtown and we go out on the square of Chicago for a dinner and dancing trip, which is always very exciting. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks. Later on the agenda, two reception of visitors give members of the audience an opportunity to speak. Cards have been provided on the back table. For the convenience of audience members wishing to speak during that time, the board asks anyone wishing to comment to sign in and indicate on the card the topic to be discussed. They can be placed in the basket on the table to my right, and they will be used as reference during the receptions of visitors later. We'll start with the non-action reports, the Lester Playground Committee with Dr. Kremiskoli.
Yes, and I will introduce Karen Novak, who I see sitting in the back. I think you have a parent or two here that you might want to introduce who wants to speak to us about the playground initiative there. Thank you. Standing would be great, but you can sit either way. It's fine. Whatever you're comfortable with.
My name is Patty Esslinger. I'm here with Sadie O'Donnell. I'm the Lester Playground Chair. So we are, Jill Sprint, she is here as well. She's part of the chair. So we started our campaign really in February 2016 just by making some blacktop improvements to help the kids have some fun activities on the playground during recess. But now we're in a capital campaign, and really that's why we're here today. We are hoping to raise somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000 to really kick off the campaign, and we hope to be done by at some point in 2019. So obviously that's a lot of money, so we have some ideas. We want to set up an interactive donor website. We're using Amazon Smile, so we're using that within the community and with our school. We're trying Bounce Back, so we have one that's set up with Chipotle, yes, they do 50%, which is great. Private donors, we have some that are have some interest. Student involvement, because once they see like a picture, they're going to be really excited, so we're excited. School fundraisers will be specifically slotted for this fundraiser for the school playground. Grants from local charities, community involvement, a donor wall. So we have a lot of really good ideas. It's really just getting started, and we're going through the process now of setting up a 501c3. And throughout this process, I've learned a lot. It takes a lot of effort to really get started, so we're going to document the whole process and share it with the other schools, if anyone wants to.
Thank you.
What is your target date again, did you say?
2019.
Okay.
So it's That's really good. Just a dart thrown in the air, sure. But I know it's aggressive, but I think we can do it with some private donors.
Thank you.
I guess my only question or comment is, as we're moving forward to perhaps making some facilities changes at Lester, I'm not sure where, we're obviously a little ways off in the process. Just ask that you keep your planning in mind and work with the district to make sure everything's...
Yeah, absolutely. We're aware of that, so that's on our...
Thanks.
Sounds like the timing might work.
Might work very well.
Yeah. Might be to your advantage.
I think so.
So, members of the board, as we've done in the past, anytime we are anticipating some large fundraising and possibly that donation for this a specific purpose, we'd just like to bring it before the board so that you can give a nod to that effort and be aware of that effort as you see signs and encouragement throughout our community. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about that. So thank you so much. And
thank you for taking that.
Yeah, no, thank you. I wish we could do it for you. Thank you.
Okay, next we'll have the spotlight on our schools with the math committee with Dr. Rich.
Great. And it's my pleasure to introduce a few more members of the math committee. We'll see the audience also, Chris Kapoor, Heather Holloman, and Tim Perkins are going to join me in presenting today. Got some updates on some of the work we've been doing with our teachers this year, also some great work for our students.
Okay, to get started, we've been focusing a lot on professional growth. We've been working with the Metro Chicago Math Initiative, MCMR. They're from the University of Illinois at Chicago. And we've been developing some depth in mathematical thinking and emphasizing the standards of mathematical practices. Each grade level has completed 3 days of professional development thus far. And with the help of MCMI, we've defined depth as high cognitive demand activity. And I'm going to show you the number now to talk about number one. So one of the actual activities or tasks that we've been asked to engage in and try out in our classrooms have been number talks. Heather and I both did some number talks with our classes that we were going to share with you this evening, but before we show the videos, I just want to share what a number talk is and its purpose in our classroom. So it's making sense of mathematics. It's beyond just the computation and the skill and thrill of solving the problem. It's developing efficient computational strategies, so not just either... there is value in research on counting on your fingers, but only for so long. So we want to have other strategies. We teach some strategies such as doubles or doubles plus ones, but we need to go beyond that, and we want our students to be able to take those strategies and apply them to bigger numbers, because we do move beyond 20 and 40 at some point and beyond 120 at the first grade. So if we can't compute past there without our fingers, without just doubles, we're going to be in trouble. So we want to have other strategies. We're communicating mathematically. The sooner we can do that, we know that the more successful our students are going to be. So this communication is going to start orally, but just like we learn to speak before we write, our students need to learn how to speak mathematically before we can expect them to write mathematically. We know that down the road, in high stakes testing, they're going to be asked to write about their math. So while that's not our goal is beyond that, and for them to become mathematical thinkers, there's that added benefit, but we know that they need to be able to communicate orally. You'll be impressed, I think, in what you hear of some of our students, what they say about their math. And then finally, there's reasoning, improving solutions, and those standards of mathematical practice that Tracy just touched upon can all be seen in just a short 5 to 10 minutes in our classroom on a somewhat regular basis. So those are our goals with the number talk, and I'm excited to share with you some first graders, and then you can meet a little bit older students.
We're going to give you sort of highlights of these. We encourage you, we're going to put the whole presentations online, but each of these videos is probably 7 to 8 minutes. And so we're going to go for the short course version here of the meeting, and we encourage people to go in a longer course version. And of course, Heather will tell you it was about 17, 18 minutes that we started. So all of these are still kind of edited down from what the real class experience would be.
Today we have one more number talk. And I'm going to show you my small whiteboard here that has 3 numbers on it that we're adding together. I'm only going to show you for a few seconds. You're going to try to hold those numbers in your brain, add them together, and when you have an answer, you can give me a thumbs up. If you're waiting for your friends to come up with another answer, you can try to think of another way that you can add those numbers together and show me with putting up another finger. Okay? When I see that we're ready, then I'll ask for people to share their answers with us. Okay, so here are the numbers that we're adding together. I'm going to turn it around now. Ready? What answer did you get?
16.
16. Danielle, what answer did you get?
16.
16. Kaylee, what answer did you get? 16. Did someone get an answer other than 16? Jalen?
15.
15. Did someone else get another answer? Kaizen?
16.
16. Holly?
14.
14. Darren?
I got 16.
You got 16. Megan?
16.
Great, okay. And did anyone get an answer other than 16, 15, or 14?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
13.
Okay. Who would like to share their strategy for how they got one of, how they got their answer? Kaylee, can you share with me what you did?
I counted the biggest number first, and then
What was the biggest number?
8.
8. Did you count up? Did you count on your fingers? How did you count those? On your fingers. So you started with 8, and then you counted, what was the next biggest number?
6.
You counted 6 more, so 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then what did you do?
8 got 16.
Well, what did you do after you had the 14? You counted how many more?
2.
2 more. 15, 16. And you got 16? Okay. All right. Let's see. Derek, what did you do?
I, like, put 8 fingers up. Then I put 2 more, so if I have 10. So then I knew if I have 10 and I add 6, I'll have 16. So that's the number I got of 16.
How did you know that 10 plus 6 was 16?
Like, it's just like you're, it's like you have 1 when you have 10.
Yeah.
And you're counting up to 6.
Okay. Great. Let's see. Kaizen, what did you do? That you were signaling that you agreed with that, or that you did the same thing? Yeah.
Well, I agree with them, but...
All right, one second. So you took 4 away from 8. So you had 4 and 4 in your 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you had 6 plus this 4. Okay. And that made how much? 10. And then what did you do? Okay. Matthew, did I see that you were signaling that you agreed with that, or that you did the same thing? Yeah.
Well, I agree with him, but I don't know the same thing.
Okay, share with what you did.
I know that 2 plus 8 is 10.
Yeah.
And I also know that 8 plus 6 was 14.
Okay.
And then
2 plus 8 is 16. Okay. So you were thinking about it more than one way? So this was one of your ways here. This was the beginning. What else did you have to do with this 8 plus 2 part?
The 8
plus 2 part, I knew that I counted by 2s because I was 10. Okay. And then I knew that it would be 4 and 4 and 4 and 16. Okay. Oh, so you, after this, counted by 2s. So 10, 12, 14, 16. Okay. And last, Chloe, quickly, last one.
I put 8 fingers up.
Yeah.
And I had 2 more, so I put the one. And I got 10, so I test it in my brain, and then I started all over, but only putting 6 up, and that would equaled 16.
Fabulous. Nice job. Can everybody give themselves a pat on the back? That was a very excellent number talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I know. And I love that all of you want to share in your number talks. Okay, we're going to start with ones where when I tap, you get to say the answer all together. Okay, we're going to have one at the end that you just think about it and hold up your finger. Now, sitting up tall, when I show you the problem, I'll tap it, then say the answer. Ready? Up two. Don't say it until I tap.
350.
Nice.
70.
Oh, good.
140.
Good. So for the next one, you're not going to say the answer. Just think it in your head. Put a finger up for each strategy you found to solve it. Okay, so thumbs and fingers closed right now. Fingers up for strategies. Do not say it out loud. You have it solved, finger up. Each strategy you think of, put up another finger. Jameson, what'd you come up with?
I came up with 560.
Okay.
And then I just did it, well, I did it my way. I did 35 times 16, like the stacked way.
Okay.
And then I did, 5 times 6, and then I got 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put the 0 down, carried to 3, and then 3 times 6 is 18, and then I added 3, which is 21.
Okay.
So I got 210, and then you cross out the 6, and then put a 0 on the dollar.
Okay.
And then 1 times 5 is 5, and then 1 times 3 is 3, and then 0 plus 0 is 0, 5 plus 1 is 6, and then 2 plus 5 is 5.
Awesome. Yeah.
I did 3 ways, but the easiest way.
Just share your favorite way.
Yes. I did 10 times 35.
Okay. Which is the first one we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I took away the 6 from 16, so then I started 10. So then I got.
Okay, wait. You did 10 times 35 and you got 350.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And then what did you do?
And then since I took away the 6 from 10, I multiplied 35 times 6.
So you took 16 and you put it into 10 and 6.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you did 6 times 35?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I got 210.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just added those.
And what did you get me out of them?
I got 560.
Were you together, you get 560. Do you think, my dear, that that was intentional?
After looking at what Max did, I noticed that if you add, for the first three questions, if you add the first numbers together, it makes 16. So if you just add 350, 70, and 140 together, you get 560.
Do you think, my dear, that that was intentional?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's built on each other. So what's the relationship? Why did I choose those numbers? You like, write this in my next thing. Well done. Why do you think I chose those numbers in those stats? You can raise hands now. Why do you think I chose the numbers I chose? Carter?
Because you knew they all add up to the answer.
Yeah, and is that the first strategy a lot of you did? No. Is that okay? Yeah. Why are they all even?
Because an odd number times an even number would always be an even number.
You're right. If we have an odd times an even, we always get an even.
Yeah. What else do you notice about that 35, Maggie?
It's a multiple of 5, so all of our...
to show their work, because it's a strategy that they use, and how do they do it. And so
it's the process of giving a high cognitive demand task, looking at it, evaluating it, providing feedback, and then moving forward. So that's another area that we use in professional development and the type of task we've been implementing in our classrooms.
Yeah, so that's in the morning of our on our professional development days. The afternoon has been dedicated to grade level things, looking at the blueprint that we have spent a lot of time putting together and tweaking it, and where should this topic go? Does this make sense? Is that order ideal? And we've been collaborating and sharing ideas related to putting the blueprint in and where it could be expanded. In the development of middle school math placement process and math placement assessments. And as we focus on assessment development, we've partnered up with the DHR week. We've learned a little bit about the depth of knowledge, which we refer to as DOK. We'll show you a few samples of those in just a minute. In relationship to the assessment, and when we're talking about that depth of knowledge, we're just looking at the different problems and thinking, is this a very simplistic problem, or is this one that involves more reasoning and analysis? Is it deeper? Also, we've identified appropriate depths of knowledge for each math common core standard, and we've decided to learn more about assessment by advance. So we've looked at four different ones, just kind of to see what's out there and what they offer, and we've narrowed it down, and we're looking extensively into two of them, and that would be the INSPECT and the CERTIFA. Okay, so this would be an example of a DOK one, which basically is just a very simple problem. The fraction strip below shows two halves are shaded, and the other half is a static question. Each fraction strip that is equal to it, you say yes or no. And so the kids would just look through, answer yes, answer no. Very simple math problem. As we move up to a DOK 2, very similar, but now we're looking at fractions on a number line. So you can see in the top picture, it's a fraction that falls between 2 and 3. It says which of the following shows a number line equal to the number shown by letter D. And they have to select not just one, but now they have to select all that apply. So we're slowly getting a little bit deeper in requiring students to think a little more, kind of reason and just apply a little more of what they've learned. If you were to move on to a DOK 3, a DOK 4, they get more, there's more depth to them. They're a lot deeper and it requires a lot more thinking on the student's part and possibly more problem solving where answers are not there, so they have to do a little bit more.
So our next steps, we are going to look and spend some time on the 17th or the 22nd that we're going to be here, looking at the deep data certified item bank, and we're going to kind of make some decisions about whether we want an item bank, how we want to go about developing our assessments and have some dialogue. Every grade level meets with the Metro Chicago Math Initiative one more time in April. And then we're going to look and see where we're at. We're going to take our pulse and see what we need to do next. We've gotten here. We don't want to lose momentum, but we want to make sure that these next steps are appropriate. And so we're going to kind of take a check and see where we're at and where we need to go at that time. And we want to continue to refine the math. We've learned a lot this year. We've had a lot of conversations. We know each of the next couple of years there's going to be continued evolution as we get deeper into each of these units and understanding the topics and seeing how our adjustments play out. And we're going to continue to work with Math Acceleration, as Heather shared. That was fourth and fifth graders together in that number string. And we're proud that we have that opportunity open to so many kids, but we know we need to continue to look at that system and help it become easier and more accessible to all parties involved. So at this point, I'd like to open up to any questions.
Can you just help me understand it? Because we've heard a lot about the math blueprint and how it's creating more consistency across our schools. The types of activities that you describe for us, would those be typical across all of the schools and across all of the grades, or are you still testing them and then rolling them out?
So for the number talks, we've been encouraged from the professional development days to try those out in our sessions. We have not taken specific number talks and put them into the blueprint. I think some of our teachers have some comfort with them, and some it's still a new strategy to be trying with their students. There's been some talk, at least at my grade level, I don't want to speak for the others, about do we need to have specific examples. At this point, we've provided resources. A lot of
Some books have been purchased for our buildings, some websites so that teachers have access to examples. But we have not inserted those specifically into the blueprint at this time. And then the Mars test, we haven't either. However, the one part of the one portion of the blueprint that we know this summer will receive some good work is that high cognitive demand area, and that's where I envision some of those Mars tasks being put in there, so that teachers have those more accessible at their fingertips to use with students when needed. And then the depth of knowledge that Tracy was talking about is really how we're looking at the assessment. So that being our next step. Also, the two companies we've been looking at, they do label their questions in that format of depth of knowledge, so that's a good connection for us. However, based upon the trainings we've received and then what we've learned about that and comparing, that's some of our critical thinking about these item banks is, do we think that that depth of knowledge actually does match up appropriately in those items banks? So the one that we saw before, we liked some of what we saw. There were some things we were concerned about. So we're, I think, looking forward to the next company coming in and sharing more with us. This is a newer process for even those of us that have been on the math committee a long time about looking at an item bank and what that means, especially looking at it across many grade levels. What kindergarten needs in a common assessment is significantly different than what our middle school teachers are looking for a common assessment. So. We're hopeful, but we know there's still a lot of work to be done in that discussion and decision.
One of the things we mentioned at our last, when we brought the data in, was that our teachers were trying a lot of different things. In each of the three strategies, if they'd been done in our district last year, they were done really a couple of people trying them out. Katie had been into, because her graduate work has been doing number talks for a little while. Some other people had done some experimenting with it. But this year, everybody's been trying it. Everyone's been doing it. One of the things we've been talking about is if you do 20 talk number talks this year, that's 20 more than they had last year. And that adds up as kids go through the system. And I know what some of the middle school administrators have said is it's been so cool to go into the middle school classrooms and see some of those number talks play out and see some of the thinking at some of our highest kids and some of our struggler kids who've never had a voice in math in those foundation classes and start to bring those out. So this is a new process, and this is part of the things that we say it's going to take us time to learn instructionally. This is a very different thing, but we're very excited about what the outcomes will be as we bring that practice and have it completely embedded in the system, and we feel comfortable with the instruction. It is very different.
I also think I can say, like, most of us feel like the blueprints are going to be an ongoing thing. Like, it's not just going to be like, add assessments, we're done. Like, we're just going to be a lot of tweaking and refinement. And, you know, like, as I was putting it together sometimes in July, I was like, well, that looks good. Now I'm doing it. I'm like, what was I thinking? Now that I'm living it, it's not quite the same. So I think it's going to be an ongoing process for a while.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just, on the number talks, so they're pretty fascinating. And I guess what I like about them a lot is, you know, a lot of times in math, there is a single answer, but there are a lot of ways to get there, and they're not all necessarily right. And given what I do for a living, sometimes it's like, it's kind of a life lesson. You can kind of see, okay, we have different people approach a similar problem in a lot of different ways, even though they might have come up with a very similar conclusion and answer, and you get to kind of see that while testing those math skills that the kids have at the same time. So those are really neat to watch.
And as you pointed out, in real work, basically is very excited at this type of work. When they talk about us doing habits of mind and doing these things, they talk about problems that you do the same problem for a couple of days working through. This number talk is the first step in the number strings of really starting to think and contemplate multiple avenues to solve the problem. So it really is from a kindergarten level on up, helping prepare our kids for the high school experience and the corporate experience.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. This is amazing where you've gotten, and I can really tell from where we were last year, where we are this year, and the excitement from you and what we're seeing there. I guess I would just ask, are there things that you're looking from us as a board that you're not getting or that you need to further your process, or do you sort of need to go and have the time to go?
Yeah, well, I think our next step is that last, one, the assessments are huge, and that's going to take more than that's not going to be a half-day committee meeting to make those assessments. So some of, I guess, my own personal concern is, when is that going to happen? Does it happen over the summer? And what sort of, what does that look like financially to have that be done? Or the other thing that I'm hearing as a teacher is, if I don't do it in the summer and do it in committee time, it's myself out of the classroom. And so I know that's not specific to the math committee, but that's a concern for some curricular things that need to happen, of how we balance that type of thing. And then our just our question about what does professional development look like for math next year. And I think our last conversation was that we don't want this to be a, we did professional development for 1 year in math and we're done, because ELA needs to be stepping up and has some needs. So how do we continue that professional development while balancing it with the other curricular areas that are moving forward and need that same focus?
Well, Katie really speaks as the voice of her expertise when trying to do assessments. I think she's been involved since I've been here in 3 different attempts to do the assessments. So she's dead on the fact that that's not going to be just a task. It's going to take some time. It's not something that we're going to
do. Yeah, I think my concern is it's everything up here is fantastic, and you'd like to see it rolled out to as many teachers and to have them buy in as quickly as possible, and also have them, you know, witness it. And that, I understand that that's a slow process. So just so you know, I think the board is behind trying to help get that training and get the word out and get as many people trained as quickly as we could possibly do it.
And just to be clear, all of the grade level teachers have been participating in these trainings. So all of our teachers come, they receive the training in the morning, and then do their blueprint collaboration and refinement in the afternoon. So all of our teachers have been exposed to that, and all have been encouraged to try it. It is a new skill, and so there's some practice involved in that. But I think it's really critical, and each of the teachers here today spoke to that ability to do that refinement of the blueprint. We know curricula is always an ongoing and dynamic thing that we need to refine based on what we're seeing with our students and what we're seeing in their performance and their learning, and we hope that that will continue. But our teachers do need time and support to be able to do that. That is not just a once in the summer, once and done kind of a thing. So that time is critically important, and we really need to work to find ways to support our teachers and our administrators to have that time in a reasonable way without always taking away from classroom time too. So thank you for your support of that.
Carrie, this may not be the time, and you may not have an answer right now, but can you kind of, if possible, kind of clarify a little bit of the process, I guess, going forward? Because I think I hear there's some room for future personal development, and you're going to need more time to get together. It's going to continue to evolve over the months, right, and probably then some. So for procedurally, like, will there be a recommendation that comes from the committee as far as what professional development, what kind of timing you need, and then from a budgetary standpoint?
Mm-hmm. What will happen is, after they've had their opportunity in April to finish the Metro Chicago Math Initiative work, then we know really can survey and take input from the committee of where are we at now, and what do we think are really the next steps. We would then give that to our professional development team, and we have a committee that looks at that piece and say, this is what math is thinking, this is what they're going to work on. Do a little bit in May and June about saying this is where it is, and then the principal will work on it with Jamie and Justin this summer to kind of say this is where things start to fit and start to work together. And you'll start to see that in what comes forward as a result of this is our professional development plan. In the fall, you'll see those in our strategic goals and action plan. All of those things start to come and be part of it as we start work to define this, but it's going to take that time. The summer curriculum development, as a committee, we're going to look and say, here's where we're at with assessments, and we don't know. I mean, we're still having this next vendor come back, and we may not know that answer solidly until after our April meeting.
Sure.
Then we're going to look and start to see what we want to adjust in our May meeting and say, what is doable, and what do we want to accomplish now, and what do we want to wait on until we try some things first. You don't want to write assessments for every topic and then find out in the first topic, well, the stuff we created, the system really doesn't work the way we want it to, and then have to go back to the board. So we have to figure out how much of those things we want to develop beforehand, and how much do we want to say, let's wait until after we've really tried it out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So next we have communications listed on tonight's agenda. Are 8 communications received by the board? Are there any additional communications the board members would like to share at this time?
I have a text communication that I shared with Pam just this morning, so that'll go on for the next agenda.
Okay.
I got an email from the newspaper about the candidate survey, but I'm going to respond to that outside of the system anyhow. So. It's not for the board business. So.
Just
Right. All right.
Okay. Next, we'll have reports to the board with Dr. Cremascoli for the superintendent report.
Yes, thank you. I do want to emphasize again, I know Mrs. Herkes mentioned it during the math update, but it is really important for us right now that we seek ways to find some balance between all of the committee work and the professional development that we know our teachers need. And as we look forward to next year, that's really, really important. We know that we have our ELA curriculum being piloted right now. So far, so good. Teachers seem to be enthusiastic about those resources. We know we'll need to invest some of our professional development time in that training and in familiarizing all teachers with those resources as we start to roll those out. It really is very critical for us to find some time for our teachers to access that professional development, continue to be involved in committee work. So we're going to continue to brainstorm ways to do that. Substitutes. We know there's been some substitute issues, but beyond that, we want our teachers to be with our students in classrooms, too. So that's something that we're going to continue to brainstorm, and as we come up with ideas, we will certainly be coming back to the board with that. So I thought it was a perfect opportunity to emphasize that. So beyond that, I do have some other reports I'd like to share with the board. First of all, in terms of our facility update, we know that at the last regular board meeting, we spent quite a bit of time talking about our facilities, and in particular, talking about Lester School. We appreciate the board's support of going out for a feasibility study at Lester, and I think David was going to just give the board a brief update about where we're at with the feasibility study thus far.
Thank you. We met with representatives from White and Company to talk about the needs of Lester, and had the opportunity to include the building administration at the school in those discussions. So we provide a lot of information about what the needs are for the building. We walk the building, the entire building in one meeting, and then parts of the building again in the second meeting to make sure they had an idea of what was there and how that related back to the needs. Took a look at some of the outside space. Right now what White is doing is really analyzing that space and spatialization so they can look for areas of opportunity to try and configure and be creative about what might work in terms of trying to meet the facility needs. Based on that, along with some site analysis and what might make sense for expansion as appropriate, they're then working on some graphical pieces to try and show here's what this might look like, and then refining what the cost estimates might be at a high level, and then trying to figure out what would an overall implementation strategy look like for actually doing some of those ideas. We anticipate that they will be back at our next board meeting to be able to talk about the work that they've completed.
Great. Thank you. The other thing that we've been closely examining is our enrollment for the upcoming school year. We know that registration will be starting, I think it's projected to start on April 12th for the upcoming school year. Those numbers will be critical for us as we plan for staffing and also as we examine a few of our schools that are under-enrolled and a few that we are concerned about capacity issues. So we have taken a close look at some of the boundaries. At this time, we are not recommending any boundary changes for consideration for the upcoming year, but we do know that we need to carefully examine, based on enrollment, that area between Highland and Bel Air School, specifically looking at the area west of Main Street and north of Ogden. Again, not recommending any changes for next year, but we do want to carefully examine that as Bel Air enrollment hopefully continues to go up. Highland enrollment this year has gone up, and we really need to take a close look at that for next year. We also know that LCR has been a little bit under enrollment from what their ideal enrollment would be, and so we're going to keep a close eye on that as well. But as we look forward to the upcoming school year, we know that Leicester has the Leicester lottery that will still be happening for our kindergarten students there, and Bel Air is able to help out with some options for those students as well. And so there's a couple of moving parts that we want to keep a close eye on for the upcoming school year and then throughout the upcoming school year. As I mentioned, student registration will be going out to our current families April 12th. We also have kindergarten roundups. We've been trying to communicate those out to families as much as possible. They are posted on our website. The first two that are coming up, LCR has theirs on March 13th at 9 o'clock. Leicester has theirs on March 16th at 2:20. For Leicester, the registration indication forms will be due back to the Leicester School office on April 28th, and at this point we're looking at holding that lottery on May 3rd to try and give families as early as possible information about what those options will be for them for the upcoming school year. We had a wonderful event over the weekend for those who were able to volunteer or send their children to participate in the reading games. It was a huge success. Thank you to O'Neill, and thank you to the many, many, many volunteers who helped to organize and be judges and moderators, scorekeepers, and parents who helped to support teams as well. It was just a fantastic event over the weekend, and a lot of fun to see our students celebrating reading books and collaborating with each other. A couple of other announcements in terms of dates. We have our Middle School Festival of Music this Wednesday, the 15th. Summer school and ESY registration was just sent out, I think, today, and will be due back on April 15th. So that's a little bit earlier than we typically have done. We've typically allowed families to register later, a little bit closer to the summer. We find it's really, really difficult to know then for sure who will actually be attending and not, and then to staff those programs. So we are asking families to complete that registration process and get those forms back to us by April 15th, if at all possible, so we can make those plans for summer and hire the staff that we'll need to support those important programs. Our middle school teachers who will be participating in the ELA training, in the ELA pilot, are participating in training. They were here today in this room, actually, learning about one of the resources, and they'll be back in on Friday again learning about the other, and then we'll be starting that implementation. Our elementary ELA pilot started last week. We were very pleased that we were able to offer teachers the option of working with those resources on the Friday Institute Day. I think that was a really good use of that time for our teachers, and I know our teachers have been enjoying kind of exploring those resources thus far. So they'll have 3 weeks with the one resource, and then they'll do a swap and use the other resource for another 3 weeks. We're excited to hear back from our teachers about how that is going. And then finally, thank you to the board for inviting three new members to each of the board committees. We appreciate that. We did receive such a wonderful response from our community who wanted to participate in each of the board committees. We also received a lot of interest for the Education Foundation, as well as for the Superintendent's Community Advisory Council. And our first meeting will be right after spring break on April 3rd at 7 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that as well. So thank you to everyone for expressing interest. That concludes my report to the board. Do you have any questions? All right, thank you so much.
Okay, next we'll have the monthly business reports with David.
Thank you. As we approach the time when the state typically vouchers the third of four mandated categorical payments, the state has still not made either of the first two payments. So unless the state makes one of those payments soon, when the new payments are vouchered toward the end of this month, the unpaid amount owed by the state to District 58 will rise from the current $1.6 million to approximately $2.4 million. As a reminder, these payments are virtually all related to special education and funding special education. We have four payments that are budgeted for this year, and because the state has been late in making one of the payments, that consists of one payment from last year and three out of the four that were projected for this year. But as I've shared with you, I've been pessimistic about the ability for the state to actually make all those payments during this year, that is the one late and three current. So I'm still thinking right now, based on what I've heard and I'm seeing, since we're three quarters of the way through the year with no current year payments, I think it's unlikely we'll get three current year payments between now and the end of June. So it's likely we may end with an $800,000 state revenue shortfall. Absent good news to the contrary, good news being that the state catches up next year with a budget and a bunch of money. What I'm planning for next year's budget is that we would get two late payments, that is, two payments that were missing from this year would show up next year, and then we would get two payments next year that are for next year, and they would still be two behind, but that would be four more payments, so we would sort of be back to getting the four payments that we would normally anticipate. But then we would be carrying forward about a $1.6 million deficit from the state that would just be the ongoing moving forward balance from the state. So revenues are running under budget for this year so far. Expenditures are tracking as anticipated. Later in the meeting, you'll have an opportunity to consider a resolution to transfer $6 million from the working cash fund to the education fund. Without this transfer, I'm projecting that the education fund will have a $0 balance by the end of March. This transfer is a loan from working cash that would be repaid when spring tax receipts arrive. This is the same amount that the district transferred last year for the same reasons to cover the shortfall in the education fund. Considering both this transfer and the $1.2 million transfer from the working cash fund to the transportation fund that was completed earlier this year, the working cash fund will then have a little bit less than $2 million remaining, which you may yet see another transfer later this year to support either the debt service or operations and maintenance fund if needed. It's not a lot of additional funds. I believe it should be sufficient to carry us through the end of the year. But keep in mind that that possible $800,000 shortfall in revenue really will further reduce available funds as we think about next year and put greater demands on the working cash fund to support operations. Just a reminder on financial reports, this month you have both the old reports that we've been providing as well as the new reports available for you on board docs. Unless I hear feedback to the contrary from you, in April I'll drop the old reports and you'll see the new reports going forward.
I guess that, yes, if you're looking for feedback now.
Yeah. Oh, good, thank you. Last month I spoke with you about the grand bargain that was being negotiated in Springfield, and it included a number of pieces of connected legislation. At that time, I said that while Governor Rauner was reported to be sitting on the sidelines during the negotiations, if it changed, that might herald an acceleration in the progress or demise of the grand bargain. As you may know, Governor Rauner did step into the process, and that did result in the demise of the grand bargain. Some, or even perhaps most of that legislation, though, may return as amendments into some of the shell bills that are currently in place during the session. So just because the grand bargain is over, it doesn't mean it's the last that we've seen of those legislative proposals. Overall, there continue to be quite a number of bills that are working their way through the General Assembly. Some impose new mandates, others limit flexibility for school districts, and others increase costs or limit revenue. I suppose there's probably a couple good ones in there too, but it seems like at least most of what we hear about are the ones that aren't quite that exciting. Just shifting to the bond markets for a moment, it's anticipated that the cost of borrowing will increase during the rest of this year as the Fed is predicted to raise rates. The lack of a budget at the state level and the overall poor financial condition of the state of Illinois also has a deleterious effect on borrowing costs. When comparing in-state AAA-rated transactions against out-of-state AA1-rated transactions, and AA1 is a step down from AAA-rated bond in terms of credit quality, in-state transactions with a better quality debt are running about 0.75% higher in yields meaning they cost more to borrowers. Normally, what you would expect is that lower-rated transactions would tend to cost more to borrowers. But what we actually have is the other way around. This is sometimes referred to as the Illinois penalty. The Illinois penalty does not impact the existing debt of the district, as those yields were established at the time the district issued the debt, but it could affect future debt issuance. So I just wanted to keep you, have you keep in mind sort of what's happening in the markets and what impact that might have on future borrowing. And with that, I conclude my report.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? Okay, next we'll go to the Policy Committee. Sally?
Thanks, Doug. The Policy Committee met on February 21st, and we took a look at several policies at that time. So you'll see that there's four policies that are up for first reading on the agenda. Two of them relate to the board secretary position in anticipation of some changes beginning of next year. I think those are kind of self-explanatory and really just kind of bringing them up to date and current with past legislation in anticipation of new hire. We did also look at policy 1150, community relations, and we added some language to the end of that policy, and it might be easiest just for me to read it for everyone out there. I know the board's already seen a copy of it, but we added some sentences at the end of that policy. It would say, citizen communications in any form received after the posting of the board agenda will be placed on the subsequent board agenda. I think that helps clarify some of the timing issues that we've heard some concerns over the last couple of meetings. It goes on to say that communications from employees who are also citizens and have specified that they are communicating as a citizen will be handled as described above. All other communications from employees will be handled in the manner described in Policy 8255. Again, those sentences have been added in an effort to sort of clarify for, I think, members of staff and members of the community how communications to the board are going to be handled, number one. Number two, it does actually shift the burden a little bit, if you will, to the party writing the communication to let the board know whether or not, in the instance where you are both citizen and staff, whether you're communicating to the board as a staff member, in which case your communication will be handled pursuant to Policy 8255. If you're communicating as a citizen, it will be communicated pursuant to this Policy 1150. So we're hopeful that that will provide the clarification that the community has been looking for. The last item that we took a look at was also the policy concerning exemption from physical education. And I don't know if Matt Neustadt is here, but I also just want to give him a little shout-out to thank him for a follow-up call that he and I had. But we felt that the changes to that policy were necessary in order to give clarity both to the administration and also to parents going forward, and it allows them to collaborate more fully for the best interests of the student and the parents and staff. So hopefully those changes will be helpful to everyone as well. So. With that, that's the end of the report, and then there's several items that are up for motion for first reading.
Okay, so the first reading, this will be a first reading of Policy 1150, Community Relations, Citizen Communications with the Schools and the Board, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to approve for first reading Policy 1150 regarding citizen communications with the schools and the board, and place it on the April board agenda for final approval? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And the motion carried to approve the first reading of Policy 1150 and place it on the April board agenda for final approval. Next is the first reading of Policy 2050, Administration Board Secretary, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to approve for first reading Policy 2050 regarding the board secretary and place it on the April board agenda for final approval?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carried to approve the first reading of Policy 2050 and place it on the April board agenda for final approval. Next is the first reading of Policy 5133-1, Students' Exemption from Physical Education, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to approve for first reading policy 51331 regarding student exemption from physical education and place it on the April board agenda for final approval?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried to approve the first reading of policy 51331 and place it on the board agenda in April for final approval. Finally, there's a first reading of policy 8341, internal board operations duties of the secretary of the board as recommended by the policy committee. Is there a motion to approve for first reading policy 8341 regarding the duties of the secretary of the board and place it on the April board agenda for final approval?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried to approve the first reading of policy 8341 and place it on the April board agenda for final approval. Next, we'll have the legislative committee. John Miller will report.
Okay. We met on February 15th, and that meeting was really to prepare for our headliner event that was last Friday, the legislative committee. So we used that meeting on the 15th to mostly draft the questions and discuss the planning for the legislative breakfast that happened last Friday. Those that were in attendance, hopefully they thought that was worthwhile. I always find that nice to hear what our representatives have to say. Unfortunately, that was probably the lowest turnout I've seen, but there's a couple things going on in Washington. There's a few things going on in Springfield, so our legislators were busy back at their respective offices doing that. So, but we did have two. We had Patty Bellock and David Olson there, and they gave us a good feedback on what they thought was important to them, how they're viewing things, and then a little bit of an insight of what's going on in Springfield. For those of you who weren't there, I thought the view was the same as probably most of us had. They're as frustrated as everyone else. I think it's just a level of frustration that none of us have ever seen before. David, I mean, you kind of said it. I think we kind of called out Patty Bellock on one where she said, well, hey, I saw you. I looked over at you, and you're like, huh. But, you know, she's like, well, we appropriated the same as we did last year. But as you say, appropriation is very different than actually funding. So word of caution to the audience is when you hear in the paper on the news that, oh, we appropriated the same amount of education funding as we did last year, great. But if you don't actually write the check, that doesn't mean anything. So, you know, it's interesting. They think of it a little differently than we are in D.C. But I always liked that event. That's one of my favorite events. And then we will have our wrap-up meeting for that this Wednesday, correct? Yeah. So that's really all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Financial Advisory Committee did not meet in March. The meet and confer met on March 2nd. Elizabeth?
So we, as a committee, began our first real substantive review of the strategic plan over the past few years. And the decision of the committee was to start going through topic by topic and start to do a deep dive. And for the first one, the decision was made to start with looking at the annual report and the progress related to technology for teaching and learning. And James Eichmiller and Christy Ward facilitated, a really good discussion. Actually, we ran out of time. People had so much to say, which is great. Drilling in on technology for teaching and learning, specifically running through what we're hoping will be an ongoing process, which is to look at where we are as a district, what are our overall impressions and reflections on where we are on that specific topic, what are our significant accomplishments, and then more importantly, as we begin to organize, looking forward to strategic planning efforts, what needs do exist that we need to explore further and start to document that so that when we do get to the point where we can move forward on some of our strategic planning efforts, we will start with that strong base of learning and knowledge that comes from all the teachers and the parents and the administrators that are participating in that process. So that was a great conversation. As I said, we sort of ran out of time. The other thing we had planned to discuss at that meeting was to start looking at what a draft timeline might look like for this board, for the next board, in terms of when might we need to start things rolling in order to have a new strategic plan ready to adopt in the timing that we'd like to get there. We ran out of time. So that will be the first topic that we talk about in April, and then also in April.
David, help me remember, we decided we'd discuss budget first.
Budget. So next month we'll be going through a very similar process, but David will be helping to run us through where our district is in terms of budget and the financials, and then perhaps then taking the other aspects of that, the facilities, and pushing them into another month session. But we will be working our way through those different processes and having those same sort of conversations. Our next meeting is in April.
Thank you. There are no discussion items this month, so we are at the reception of visitors. During this first reception of visitors, comments must pertain to agenda items. Please stand, state your name and your attendance area when we pull your card. During their first reception of visitors, comments must pertain to agenda items. I already said that. This is the opportunity for members of the audience to share comments with the board, subject to reasonable constraints, but is not intended to be time for members of the public to enter into a dialogue with the board. Issues raised during the public participation may be added to future agendas or addressed by the administrative staff as appropriate. Criticism of individuals is not in order. Any person addressing the board shall identify yourself, state your name, attendance area, and speak as briefly as possible.
I believe all of them are related to an agenda item. Even there's a couple of occasions where it's listed as non-agenda item, but actually I think you should call it a bit.
Oh.
That would be my suggestion.
Okay.
I think it might have been marked wrong.
Got it. Maria Ibarra. Oh.
Like to hear what the parents are
looking
for.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. So maybe put hers off to the side and call
okay.
The next individual.
Hello. My name is Elsa Felipe. I am a member of the bilingual part of the advisory. Okay. I'm here to present our case. I'm going to read it because I don't want to lose anything. Okay, my two daughters attend Kingsley School. Only one is in the Divine Therapy Program. I represent the Bilingual Parent Advisory, and I would like to respectfully present to you our feelings for Miss Ibarra. We understand that Miss Ibarra has made a reputation last birthday. We also know that Miss Ibarra has personal reasons, but her situation may change in the next 2 weeks. She has said that she may stay if given the opportunity of going with to solve her problems. Miss Ibarra has helped improve the life of our children and family. My youngest daughter, who was a student of Miss Ibarra in kindergarten, has been working 1 year ahead of her grade level. My other daughter could do the same on the fourth grade. So Miss Ibarra has helped me to understand how, as a parent, I can help my children with their schoolwork. It is very important to my husband and I, and for all these people that are here with me today, to keep Miss Ibarra in the program. Miss Ibarra is the first teacher who has gone out of her way to help our children in this way. I know that we all try to encourage our children. Respect the school district and the people who run it. You all make this possible. This is a great community, and Our families are not alone anymore. Our families are engaged. And this change was possible thanks to Ms. Ibarra. It is not easy. 3 years we have working with her, but we hope you will give Ms. Ibarra a chance, to solve any personal issues so that she may not have to resign. Thank you, and I'm sorry for
My name is Veronica, and my daughter also attends to the disciplinary program at Princeton School. The school has more meaning than just going to class and learning and reading, writing, and math. It connects our students and our family backgrounds with school education. Us as parents have high expectations for our children in school. Learning to read and writing English and Spanish is a very good degree. It helps them in class and our managers. Leaderships and Ms. Ibarra has done a lot. She has a lot of part of the community. She also has planned events, like for example, at the end of the year of last year, the school year, she planned an event for our children to have an enjoyed time together, same with us as parents. And also because of her work. My daughter has friends throughout the school here, and she's proud to be American bilingual. Like Elsa said, our children are—they're doing well in school thanks to her. She grew up in Mexico, so she also understands our language, our culture, and our problems. And this trip that we have very good teachers, but it's difficult to connect with them. Ms. Ibarra. She has become the bridge between the school and us. And we all hope that we can consider what a loss would be if we lose her. Some of our children are thinking that if we should have to continue with this program in this district, or if the district will not support us. The program will not be the same with our position, energy, and support.
Hi, my name is Hindi. I'm sorry for me to go to the Ms. Ibarra. So, Ms. Ibarra is so many things for us. She's more than a teacher. She loves you. She cares for kids. She knows. She understands. She takes time to talk to us and our child. Too many times, I don't have time to listen to my child. She called me and she told me, "Hey, Nancy, what's going on with Brian?" And I think, you know, I guess the word, sometimes I don't pay attention and stuff like that. And I talk to him, and everything is great. My son, he's in another school, Mr. 58, and he's very shy and quiet. So, when we moved to Casey, that's a tough. I think he got too many friends. Yeah, she was so happy. I see her in the first week. She was so happy. She's such a tough. She told me, "Hey, Mom, Ms. Ibarra is great. She's a great person. She understands." She said to me, he started to learn English too. He started to talk in English and play, and he started to read this thing for Ms. Ibarra. Now, we are afraid about that. Too many things. Now we check with police and we can kind of overview and explain how the things work in this COVID for the time. So thanks to Ms. Ibarra, we can do too many things. We go to the library, we take our cards and we take some books to read to our kids. She helps us too. We get to start to speak English. So we try. So sometimes in our house we have any problems, you know, we be afraid to talk to the owners, and she helps you. She helps with that. She's the best person who I know, and I don't want to share that or give because they love her, they know her, and they miss give a chance to resolve any problems he has, because we don't want to shoot it. Basically, the third decline, make a chance to stay with us. For all, for the community, for our kids, because we really, really need them. Thanks.
I just want to add one more thing. I have another daughter, Judge Sivara had met her already. She's supposed to start this new year, school year in August. And the first time she met her on one of the teacher parent conference, my daughter, her name is Cynthia, she keeps saying that she wants to go to school with Mrs. Sivara. And even my oldest daughter, Annie, gets mad at her saying, no, she's not your teacher, she's my teacher. And now that I talked to her about the new school year that's coming, and I talked to Cynthia about you might go with her to school and she will be your teacher. She's really looking forward to have her as a teacher since the first time she met her, she wanted her to be her teacher. So I do want you guys, if you can please reconsider her information and deny it. So more children can have a good time and chance to meet Mrs. Sivara and learn from her. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dave Marbley. As a parent, I'm here to support Mrs. Sivara. And I just want to say we are very happy with her. Mrs. Sivara is always worried about our kids. She involved in our kids' life and everything. And anything. Not only education, but also in connection, emotionally. Mrs. Sivara is always thinking about how to help our kids. Is necessary our families to. She understands us. And we think that we don't want to lose. We don't want to lose Mrs. Sivara. We are really very happy with her. My daughter, she is very happy with her. Very also me and my husband, we are very, very happy. We're very proud of our daughter and very proud of our community. So I'm thinking that my daughter, she is worried right now, and I don't want to have a worried child children right now. So, we're just support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
I got a son that is 6 years old. And he's always been like a troublemaker guy. Someone can change it.
Mrs. Sivara.
Now he knows how to do a lot of things. He knows how to read. He knows how to express, how to control himself, and tends to book. Mrs. Sivara. So that's all I just can say. You know, I just come here just to support her. And that's a great person that we have in our lives. And we really do not want to lose her. And I keep telling my child, he's 45-year old, and my son, he's like, oh, you're going to go to Mrs. Sivara, blah, 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 you know. And my kid wants to go over here, too. So that's all I want to say, you know. I'm not very good in speeches, but simple and it is like that, okay? So please, pick her one more, give her a chance, you know. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The ELL teacher, the special ed teacher, other grade level teachers, the PE teacher, even the students. Because, you know, we do so many things in the community for the families, like calling the village. There's moms, and then they go and fix it. But otherwise, they wouldn't listen to them. And we do it thanks to all the support of the district, you know, that have that I use. I'm, you know, calling from the teacher from District 58. So thanks to this support is that things have happened for all of our families. And, you know, so when I talked with the parents, I told them that I presented my resignation because I'm going through this family situation. It will be resolved at the end of the month. But the district needs to move forward with whatever they need to do. And I am, you know, talking with my principal, I am aware that at this time we need to turn in the information so the school district knows what teachers they need to hire. And my principal suggested that maybe I should turn in my resignation. So the school district can move forward and figure out if they need more teachers. So I turned it in on Thursday, right to make it for this work. It was very hard for me. But at the end of this month, I don't know if I will be able to stay or not. Because I don't know how my family situation will resolve. So that's the concern. You know, because if my family situation results in a positive way, then I would be able to keep working, you know, because the evaluation cycle finished and my evaluation qualifies me as proficient and available and able, or I guess the word will be eligible to work in District 58 as I have been for the past 3 years. But if the conflict between the benefits of myself and the benefit of the district, and if you accept my, what's the name, resignation, the word, sorry, I think in Spanish and I have to say, so if the board accepts my resignation, and then at the end of the month, my situation changes, then I will reapply, and then I have to go through all the whole process, which will be a waste of resources for the district. And so that's why parents said, why don't you wait 1 more month? Like, wait and resubmit, you know, ask if you would deny or not accept my resignation. And then for the next board meeting, if my family situation doesn't resolve in the way I want, then just resubmit my resignation because then there's nothing else for me to do. So, also, you know, it's a conflict also because and the hiring teachers, you know, it's very hard. It's in fact a long process to find qualified teachers. But in the biliteracy program, it's much harder. Just look at the top. They are all English speakers. And we are a district that people want to work for. But look at the top situation. So in the biliteracy program, finding someone, not only bilingual, but just the bilingual training itself, which is a very specific program in the bilingual education. I myself have been working on this for some time. But Mrs. De Leon, although she was our best, is the person that we found when she was hired, she didn't have the training. She took a lesson. So finding a teacher that has the bilingual training and the one-on-one technology training, that it's very hard. Because next year we will have kindergarten first grade, second grade, and the district will need to hire a third and fourth grade. So there will be 3 teachers. If I leave, the program will lose 2 teachers. 2/3 of the teachers will be new. And that can be really devastating for the program. So I'm also really conflicted, like, should I present my resignation, because it will really hurt the program. I'm also getting the training in technology. Well, you see me every year getting grants. I'm sorry, I'm the grant actor. Like, you know, I ask the grant for the almost and the grant for this, and the last, you know, I'm always asking for grants for the benefit of these students, especially because the Board of Education has these guidelines on how we should support these families to close the gap. And that's what we are doing. And also, you know, thinking about, what about if I don't submit my resignation? What about if I wait one more month? But the district needs, I guess, to post the jobs, you know, the job posting. But thinking back on that, when I was hired, I was interviewed. District PTA posted the opening late spring, really late spring, compared with other districts, at least in 5 years. So I was interviewed late May, and I was offered a position, but I didn't sign my contract until 2 days before the school began. Kind of a nerve-wracking thing. And Mrs. De Leon also, she was interviewed in May. So, you know, I am heavily invested in the district after 3 years. You see how much we have worked with all the families. They learned that they are part of the bilingual parent advisory. It took us a long time. The job of the district is to train them to do exactly that. Advocacy for their students, because the state board mandates that they give advice to the district on how to run the program. I'm really proud. I'm so happy that, you know, they are out of the shadows. What have you seen that many parents of the Latino community here? I bet you haven't. Which is great. That means that we are doing very well. So then the parents, when they learned that I am communication, you know, all weekend they were all, you know, crying, calling me, you know, kissing me, and they said, well, we'll just go to the board and ask them to not accept your resignation for this month and give you this month to resolve your family situation. And then if necessary, reapply, that just resubmit a new resignation for April. And that's it. I hope I made myself clear, if not more confusing. Sorry, my English is like, it's very complex.
Thank you.
I know we are not in a conversation.
No, it's clear.
That's my message kind of across.
It's clear, thank you.
Okay, and one more thing. You know, I have the resignation here. You know, for the past 3 years, I have enjoyed my work as vice teacher for kindergarten and first grade. It has been challenging and rewarding. I will miss my students, their parents, and of course my colleagues at the school, but I will be moving on further in my personal career, my best of all. And I said, luckily for me, I never used the word, but that word that you cannot say no. I said, irrevocable.
Irrevocable.
That's why we are here.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone for coming out and your comments. This is definitely unusual. I think we're probably all a little confused as to what could happen. My initial thought was, should we go into close to discuss it because it's employment or?
Forgive me, I don't have my Robert's Rules with me, but I suspect that perhaps the way to proceed would be to call the consent agenda for a vote, ask if any member of the board would like to pull anything, I guess, from the consent agenda first, and have a member of the board, if they so choose, to have something pulled, vote on the rest, and then perhaps a motion to table a vote on the item that was pulled from the consent agenda until after a closed session, or perhaps just move right to closed session.
That would be nice, depending on the timing. I'm confused. I'm not sure what the issue is here.
Can we use the recess to figure out the procedural way to do that?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
You could do that? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And it says right here, before you even make a motion, you always ask if there's any items. So you can pull that one letter. It's up to the board if you want to go in the other room, have a closed session, or do it at the very end. It would be up to you.
We're already going in closed session.
Are we going to take a recess shortly?
Well, I think we could pull it, and then we are in closed already. Or we're going, not right now, we're going to go into closed later. So we could discuss it closed after, and then we come out of closed.
But by that point, we will have already voted on the...
No, we're pulling it.
We're pulling it.
If someone would pull it, we would be fine.
Because we will have already agreed to pull it.
Again, assuming that someone would ask to have it pulled, you would not be voting on it.
All items except that one letter.
it would be minus that one.
Just to be clear, the board could go into closed session sooner than that, or they could wait.
Yes.
Actually, we should call the. We're actually really out of order here. We need to call this agenda, pull the item, and then discuss it.
Perhaps we should finish the reception of visitors.
Yes.
First.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we can't pull anything until we get that one in the agenda.
Right. Okay. Then we can think about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we have one more, Chris Hanley, regarding policy 1150.
Regarding the new language for 1150, I'm a little confused as to why it's being put in place. I'm more a little concerned about the timing of getting communications to the board on the record for agenda items. If an agenda is posted on a Friday and you're not allowed to officially comment or get on the record as having communicated with the board on an agenda item that you did not know about until Friday, you're effectively not able to get on the record until the next month's agenda item is posted. So I'm not sure if you could put maybe a time limit, say by Monday at 9 a.m. you have to have your comments into the board. In my experience, having those communications listed to the board on an agenda item shows community engagement, community response, level of interest to a particular item that may not have been publicly known about until the agenda is posted and you have your the timing thing. So maybe the board can reconsider having a deadline before the board meeting.
Okay. I think that's something that the policy committee can certainly look at next time we meet in March on the 21st.
But it would be something in between where we are now and what they're proposing.
Okay.
We can take a look at it on the policy committee. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So next we'll go to the approval of the minutes. Are there any suggestions, revisions to the minutes as presented in the packet of materials?
Are we not to recess then?
Okay. No.
Thank you.
If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes as of February 13th, 2017 meeting as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carried to approve the minutes of February 13th, 2017 meeting as presented. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of February 16th, 2017 coffee with the staff as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain, please.
Thank you. The motion carried to approve the minutes of the February 16, 2017 as presented. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the February 27, 2017 special meeting curriculum workshop as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? And the motion carried to approve the minutes of the February 27, 2017 meeting as presented. Next is the approval of the consent agenda. Are there any items a board member would like to have considered separately? If not, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda consisting of the personnel report and financial statements consisting of the list of bills and summary as presented in the packet of materials?
Yes,
I think so.
You're one of us. Ms. Maria Rivera warrants his resignation.
Item A1.
Okay. So do we have a motion?
We need a motion to. How does it work?
No, you can. Any member can pull it.
Right.
Then you vote on.
Then you vote on what's left.
We can
right.
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll have a motion to approve the consent agenda, excluding the resignation,
and we're discuss that.
Right.
So moved. Could I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented to the board, less than accept the resignation of Maria Ibarra Lawrence. So moved. That was my motion.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
No
individual.
Pam, please call the roll.
Member Lupescu.
Aye.
Member Miller.
Aye.
Member Siegel.
Aye.
Member Deal.
Aye.
Member Heppner.
Aye.
Member Purcell.
Aye. The motion carried. The consent agenda has been approved.
Now we have
minus Ms. Ibarra's resignation letter. Okay, next.
So what do we do next?
Can I make a motion to go into closed session for the purpose of discussing the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of a district pursuant to 5 Illinois Compiled Statutes, Chapter 120/2, subsection C1.
Second.
Discussion.
She made the motion.
Can we just add it to the closed session we already have?
We should talk about it now.
Because we only, I would think the rest of this would go rather quickly, and then we wouldn't have to go back and come back and go back and come back. I know that there's not a whole lot of controversy. Right.
Well, we have a motion and we have a second.
So we could do it later, or we can do it now. So I think now is the appropriate time for us to have the discussion as to whether or not we want to do it now or do it later.
I didn't say we're going to do one or the other. I just said let's do it. And keep the meeting moving and everybody can kind of keep going here.
Any other strong feelings? Or
I don't know. I think I'd kind of like to discuss the matter sooner rather than later, even though later might not be that much later. But
we would otherwise have to potentially reconvene.
You always have to reconvene after open session anyway. Now we're going to go into closed session, reconvene, then go into closed session, reconvene. Any open or any closed session, you got to reconvene.
Right.
True. The board may take either action.
My opinion would be to do the closed at the end, but I'm happy to.
Well, maybe we should vote on that.
That would be
a vote no on the motion.
Yes, correct.
I think we could. I mean, I don't know how long really all the other items will take and what other items we may talk about in closed session. And we obviously have some people that are going to be interested.
I would suggest to the board that if you are to take a break and go into closed session right now, you would only focus on one item specifically so as to reconvene into open session as quickly as possible for those individuals who are here for the remainder of the meeting. That would be my suggestion. The board may take any action they'd like.
Okay. Would you like to call roll, Pam? Are we to that point? I mean,
if we look confused, we are.
I'm okay. I'm okay doing close now.
If we want to do a quick clearance. Right.
Okay.
Whatever.
Call
roll. Let's go.
Sure. Go ahead and call roll.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Purcell?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Heppner?
Aye.
All right. Okay. The motion carried, so we will be in closed session.
So let me just suggest we'll go to closed session in another room
and then
return here. So our audience and community members who are here to join us may stay here or take a quick recess if you'd like. We'll go next door and we'll come back as soon as we're able. All right.